The Cybersecurity and Compliance Podcast with Craig Petronella. Learn about the most current IT security threats in ransomware, phishing, business email compromise, cybercrime tactics, cyber heist schemes, social engineering scams, as well as hints and tips from leading professionals to help you prevent hackers from penetrating your network and dropping ransomware or malware payloads. This podcast will arm you with the best info to defend your network against the latest cybercrimes. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And now, here's your host, Craig Petronella.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's PTG podcast. Craig, what are we going to talk about today?
I'm looking at Krebs on Security. Microsoft Patch Tuesday, March 22nd edition, says Microsoft on Tuesday released software updates to plug at least 70 security holes in its Windows operating systems and related software. For the second month running, there are no scary zero-day threats looming for Windows users and relatively few critical fixes. And yet we know from experience attackers are already trying to work out how to turn these patches into a roadmap for exploiting the flaws they fix.
Read that again, the last sentence.
It says, and yet we know from experience that attackers are already trying to work out how to turn these patches into a roadmap for exploiting the flaws they fix.
How can they do that?
People are slow to patch, so people are not as diligent as they should be on patching things. Some networks, especially medical networks, they take forever to patch anything. They're open holes.
And so it's situations like that where something like managed SOC and SIM really come in handy.
Exactly, yeah. Blake, you said something about 0 days on Xbox.
Yeah, Microsoft addresses 3 0 days and 3 critical bugs for March Patch Tuesday. Gaming giant patched 71 security vulnerabilities and uncharacteristically light scheduled updates, including its first Xbox bug. And the 3 bugs are listed publicly as 0 days. None of them are listed as being exploited in the wild thus far.
So if a bunch of Xboxes are compromised, they could use them as slaves to launch a distributed denial of service attack.
Are they pretty powerful gaming machines?
Yeah, they are powerful, but it's not necessarily the power. It would be the mass amount of traffic from slave, you know, if millions of devices are infected, they could all be targeted towards one target and take it down.
Can you go into a little bit more about that? That sounds pretty interesting.
What's called a DDoS? Distributed denial of service attack is when thousands or millions of devices across the world all target a website like Amazon or Google or a government, nation state, etc. And then they knock it offline because the server can't handle all the load of traffic.
So they can use all those devices, if they don't plug it, to
be their slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're little soldiers.
Yeah. There was something called the Mirai botnet a while ago. And that was one that had malware that turned network devices running Linux into remotely controlled bots.
Wow. And is there any way to know that this is happening on your device?
Yeah, that's where the SevenSOC come in. You have to monitor the device to see the traffic, where the traffic's coming from. And if you see a huge mass of traffic, then you know what's happening. And there's different kinds of technologies that help shut down the pathways to block them. Cloudflare is a popular website that helps with denial of service attacks or DDoS.
But other than that, would their Xbox be slower?
Yeah, that could be the case. It depends on the type of malware, on the performance impact of what it can do to the machine. I would say that most would not know that it's there. I'd have to do research to see if there's even a way to scan your Xbox because it's like a hardened or a separate operating system for video games. Yeah, I'd have to check to see.
And then if you do discover that something is on your system or if you're just worried about it, I guess you could just patch it. Is there anything that you can do to get rid of it?
You mean if you're a target of a DDoS?
No, if you're turned into a robot slave, what can you do to fix it?
If your Xbox is infected, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm researching now. It's saying, I think you're really at the mercy of Microsoft as far as patching it. Like somebody wrote here that the Xbox One can't get a virus. It runs every app and game in a locked virtualized environment. It will only run an app if it's digitally signed by Microsoft. But if it's a 0 day, that means it's a flaw inside of the already signed code by Microsoft. So there's really nothing the user could do other than turn it off and wait for Microsoft to patch it. And then when you turn it back on, you obviously get the update. But I don't think from a user level, there's much that you can do in this case.
Okay, so it's Microsoft that patches it. Are they able to patch it immediately or it just takes time?
Yeah, I think it just takes time. You're at the mercy of Microsoft as a vendor at this point with something like that.
And then once they patch it, it just kicks them out?
When you reboot a device, it's going to kick them out. Usually after you patch something like that, you reboot and then you check for updates again. And then if there's any more updates, you reboot again until it says there's no more updates available. And then at that point, you're good to go because you've rebooted and broken that connection several times. If it's a botnet that is being used, the botnet would go down randomly as people are updating things.
Okay. Yeah, I knew about DDoS, but I guess I don't know a lot of details.
A lot of bad actors will use DDoS, distributed denial of service attacks, as almost like extortion. We'll take down Amazon unless you give us 100 Bitcoins or something like that. Then, you know, there might be negotiations that happen with the provider or Amazon in this case versus the bad actors. And they may not believe it and they may say, just do it. And maybe their security team catches it, you know, or their cyber team or SOC. Amazon in this example is pretty advanced as far as their cyber goes, but nothing's perfect. You only know what you know as far as the vendors you work with, the risks and different things like that. 0 days are notorious for being really nasty and really safeguarded by bad actors because it's like their skeleton key or backdoor in that nobody knows has that window open. So they want to think about how they're going to use that.
Okay.
Another, I guess, piece of bad news. I don't know if you guys saw, but the inflation hit 40-year high today.
Oh, nope.
Yeah, pretty nasty. We'll see what happens with that.
1982.
Yeah, 1982 was when it was...
The oil embargo? Or is that later?
Yeah, I think it was around that time. You're getting before my time now.
I was two.
Yeah.
I don't really remember.
Yeah. It says inflation was officially reported at 7.9% this morning, which is the highest inflation that the United States has experienced in more than 40 years. Core inflation, which excludes food and energy, is up 6.4% over the last 12 months.
Yikes. I think that's what happens when, I guess, the economy shuts down and comes roaring back. It's almost like it just wasn't prepared.
If we look at the breakdown of specific components in the consumer price index, it becomes obvious that the average American is in a dire financial position. It now costs 8.6% more to eat food in your home than it did a year ago, and it costs 38% more to fill up your car with a tank of gas. Your electricity bill is 9% more expensive. That's mind-boggling.
That's crazy.
It says high inflation is not just happening in the United States. The ECB increased their 2022 inflation forecast from 3.2% to 5.1% this morning. That's a 50% plus increase in their inflation expectations.
That's rough. Hopefully it goes back down.
It says almost half, with 45% of Americans, own no investable assets. This means they live paycheck to paycheck and have their entire savings in cash. These 150 million people are being punished because of the undisciplined monetary and fiscal policy that has been pursued over the last 24 months. Oh, we're just going to print more money for that. You can't print trillions of dollars, manipulate interest rates to 0%, and conduct an enormous amount of asset purchases while simultaneously expecting no negative ramifications. The establishment, both economists and the media, have been presenting the idea that inflation wasn't going to happen. Then it was transitory, and now it's supposedly somehow good for you. Obviously, this is all wrong. It always has been. Inflation was the natural outcome of these actions. Combine the current economic situation with new Russia-Ukraine conflict, and you have a recipe for disaster. I don't know, man. I think we're at the brink of another 2008.
Yeah?
That's what I mean. I think we're right at that tipping point. I don't know where you guys were at that point, but I remember I had just bought a house and I was like one of the last loans to get approved, last mortgages to get approved before, because they put the clamp down on everything. They weren't lending. We like just scooted through the door.
I just moved back to North Carolina from Portland, Oregon, because I couldn't find a job there. It hit Oregon before it hit North Carolina, and I did get a job, but it was not a very good job or a very well-paying job. There weren't a lot of those available. So I got kind of unlucky in my timing, I would say, back in 2008.
Wow.
But at least I did get a job.
Yeah. They're saying the Federal Reserve can't raise interest rates aggressively because we now risk spiraling into a recession. Inflation or recession, pick your poison. Maybe we get both. The whole situation is unfortunate and there's no clear off-ramp. Saying the average citizen is suffering highlights a severe lack of financial education in the United States and abroad. Inflation has been punishing those with no investable assets.
I don't think it's financial miseducation, though. I think that there's just less for normal people right now.
I think the point is that it's all lies. Everybody was lying, saying, oh, yeah, no, inflation, it's not happening. It's not happening. But it is. So I think that the misinformation and misinforming of the public is part of the problem. And then that's what leads into disbelief and other messes. I don't want to bring the COVID vaccine into it, but I will. The point is, that's why people are scared to get it. They don't believe anything. You know what I mean? It's just a mess.
I think people knew inflation was going to happen.
Well, I think the smart ones did, but I think there's some people that were believing the government and others that were saying that, oh, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. That's my point.
We haven't been fine since 2020. I think that's pretty clear. Even before that, the economy was starting to make moves. But it's cyclical. It's all cyclical. And the thing is, right now, it's up. That's how it is. But I think that one of the problems is basically it just seems to be happening more and more often. I think a lot of it just has to do with how we're set up. There's definitely a lot that's broken, and I don't know how it's going to be fixed. I guess we'll find out.
Have you adjusted our pricing yet for inflation?
Yeah, on some things. We, like a lot of other companies, if we're in a contract, sometimes you can't change the pricing. You got to either terminate the contract and get a new one, but it's a delicate balance because some clients, they don't understand, or they might price shop. You know what I mean? It's hard for businesses, especially small businesses. Most small businesses, they want to retain their client base, but their costs are going up and they're uncontrollable costs. Like our costs have increased from our vendors. I get the letters all the time saying our costs are going up for X or Y. And then when you try as a small business owner to tell your client, nobody likes that, but there's also the risk of them leaving too.
Well, they should be raising their prices too.
You're right. But I guess my point, though, is that some people are going to be more receptive to it than others. And it's a friction point is what it is.
I'm sitting here trying to process this because I'm like, it makes no sense. If everyone raises their price, what really changes? There's just a different price.
Right.
It just makes no sense to me. It's illogical. Well, the whole system is.
Here's what's crazy, too, with energy. Here in our state of North Carolina, if you buy solar panels, you're forced to sell the excess power back to the power grid. So if I buy solar panels and I put them on my house or my business, I can't use those solar panels just for my own consumption. I'm literally forced to sell it back to the power grid. The only way out of that is to say to the power grid, I don't want you anymore. I don't want power anymore. And they literally disconnect you. Isn't that crazy? I know of other states that you're allowed to do what you want and supply yourself. But my point in saying that is that there's just different rules, regulations that just don't make sense.
Yeah, it's always strange when things are legal in certain states and not others, because then it opens up a can of worms. Are the laws based on what's moral or not? Because how does it change state by state?
Like with the gas prices, right? So the gas prices are going up. I think the pump I saw today was like $4.50 a gallon for 87. Okay. Overnight, you're saying that from the supplier of wherever that gas station is buying the fuel from, raise their price? Or are they raising it for forecasts of that their price is going to go up? Because if we get a lot of fuel from other countries, we produce some of it ourselves. A lot of it comes from Saudi Arabia, right? In that area, the Middle East. I think Biden had asked them to pump more oil. And then I think that they said that they would not. My point is that you've got the world, which they're selling their oil to. They're raising the price because they can, because they control most of it. And then it has these ripple effects, right, everywhere. And then in our country, you've got gouging rules too. But then what's confusing is, when do those gouging rules take effect? How do you know when that's happening? 450 seems pretty high. How do you know when that happens?
It's definitely gouging.
Yeah, but for a rule like that to exist, how do they get around that? So then you look at electric vehicles, right? If you want to go buy a Tesla, you're talking at least 50 grand or more, and then you got to go find one. But then you still have to power that thing with your electricity at home. And oftentimes you have to put a separate circuit in for that. It'll deliver like 220 volt power or whatever to power it.
And as it turns out, you have to somewhat trust Elon Musk, because have you heard that they're calling for him to shut off all Teslas in Russia? Which, for the people that bought those, that seems highly unfair. But no one thought about that, that he had that kind of power that he could turn your vehicle off.
That is so crazy to me. And I did read that. Yes, that's a good point. That's really scary and alarming to me.
There's a lot of very alarming things lately in that regard, like turning off innocent civilians' cars is alarming. And then I guess Elon Musk recently got on a phone call with the Ukrainian president talking about his satellite internet system and stuff. And he's calling for expedited and great, like fast levels of production of oil and gas right now, which doesn't seem good for the planet, considering all the things we're going through with weather changes and stuff. It doesn't seem like that's a good idea.
And the thing with the electric cars, you have to power the thing with your power. And most people are buying their power from the grid. And some of that power is coming from nuclear. Some of it's coming from coal burning, depending on where you live. So it's just really strange. And then you have other kind of issues with an electric car, where if you go on a long trip, you have risks around not being able to find somewhere to plug it in.
It brings us back to what's near and dear to our hearts, which is cybersecurity. Because don't all controversial topics lead back to cybersecurity at the end? Because this whole thing is great, right? If you look at it from one viewpoint, electric cars, global satellite internet. But the X factor, I guess the X factor is like the negative ace card. So the X factor in all that is that if cybersecurity is not secure first, then all of that is just one big danger zone. And it just gets bigger and bigger the more it expands. It just gets more and more dangerous.
And using your example, if it is true that Elon Musk can shut off vehicles, what's to say that a hacker can't exploit that?
That's a very interesting point, because I don't know if you guys saw the article that I had attached to our chat last night, but this is alarming. And I don't have the experience with coding and stuff and understanding all that to the degree that other people do. And you guys have a lot more experience with ransomware strains and understanding all that. But just from my limited understanding, I can clearly see that this is a big deal. Like, they found a new, basically like a new method that is very rare that's being used right now. And the reason it's rare is because it's very hard to code. It requires a very high level understanding of coding to do this. But they recently found this reverse tunnel thing, where basically hackers are using this, and they built this whole new code on something that's not able to be used for delivering negative payloads like malware, unless you're a very skilled coder and you can transform it into that. But they've recently found evidence that this has happened, and they have yet to be able to link it to any group. So now we have, on top of all these problems we know about with ransomware, now we have a possible mystery suspect of someone with very advanced intelligence able to completely take something that's very hard to weaponize, for lack of a better word, because that's what malware is. And they've successfully done this, and they don't know who it is yet. Really, at the same time that we have global satellite internet and all this stuff going on, at the same time, you have emerging threats that are so high level that they're not even understood yet. And that, to me, when you put all that together, that seems very dangerous.
Yeah, it sure is. I did an article a long time ago on the cybersecurity risks of a vehicle like Tesla, and how easy it is for hackers to break into it, remote control it like a remote control car.
What happens if someone's able to do that with global satellite internet?
Yeah.
And what is that all connected to? And when it's all connected to power grids, and if you really trace this all the way to the potentials, it's like, oh my gosh, they're laying a framework for a possible planetary, like, whatever you want to call it.
Here's something that's interesting too, is the space station and the stuff that's in orbit right now. How do you know what the cybersecurity risks are with that stuff?
Yeah.
What's to stop Russia from launching something to knock out our satellite? Do we have troops in orbit?
The government has suffered breaches, right? Just yesterday, there was an article about several states have been exploited now recently. Several state government. Now, they're all linked to local and federal government. And listen to this. They put out the Q4 ransomware kind of intelligence. I have it in my pictures here. Let me see if I can pull it up and tell you. But it's a certain group that put it out, the intelligence, and it's changing. This is pretty alarming for people that think that something's not going to happen to them or what's it really going to do and whatever, because they say that 82% of infections gained persistence through scheduled tasks and startup code at execution. So they're using like automated tasks to gain persistence. And then 82% of ransomware attacks performed lateral movement, so attempting to pivot to more systems on the same network. And then once they do that, then they pivot to the supply chain. So when you hear things about state governments being exploited, then you're like, can they pivot to local and federal? And then if so, can they pivot to power grids and pivot to satellite global internet? Who is planning this?
Look at what happened with the Stuxnet. Do you guys know what the Stuxnet is?
Uh-uh.
So no. You should look it up. Stuxnet, S-T-U-X-N-E-T, is one of the worst pieces of malware. And its purpose, it was developed by a nation state. Its purpose was to overspin the centrifuges in the nuclear Iran facilities. And it caused physical damage and destruction as well as assassinations.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was like the first malware to ever cause human casualties. But it overspun the centrifuges in the nuclear facility. It literally targeted the make and model of the type of centrifuges that they were using and caused them to overspin and topple over.
Oh my goodness. There was an article about how you talk about, Craig, and you're the first person I ever heard talk about this, but about UPS, like for power supplies to even power supplies out. I guess there's been a vulnerability exploited in equipment like that where they can actually burn out equipment and cause, like, I guess it could lead to fires.
That's the other thing, spinning back to the Elon Musk thing. I was researching the solar thing. That's why I was telling you about how you have to sell it back to the power grid and stuff like that. So I was like, what about the Tesla solar roof? And then I found out that Walmart is suing Tesla because they catch on fire. There's like 8 pending lawsuits or something like that.
What?
Yeah. And the same thing with Tesla cars. There's a lot of them that catch fire when they're in an accident, and that it looks like a charred mess. I don't know if you've ever seen that kind of stuff. It's just crazy, the safety side of it.
And what's really alarming is that those things are happening. And to me, like, from a logical perspective, right, where you use reasoning to try to figure out what your opinion is, but in the light of evidence, I feel like that should bring expansion of any of that to a screeching halt until those problems are rectified, not branching out even further to global satellite internet. That seems reckless to me.
It's almost like FDA approval, right? If that was a drug and it started killing people, they'd pull it, right? They'd pull it and recall it from the market. So it's an interesting perspective to think about it from what you just said.
There's critical flaws in the framework of this thing. And instead of fixing them, it's actually just expanding further, like it's entropy, like just expanding like a muffin, even though there's critical underlying flaws, because there's a race to control whatever they think can be controlled. But that just seems contrary to common sense.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that you used FDA as an example, because right when you said that, my phone, I have my Google Photos open and I'm looking at something where they're talking again back to this ransomware update stuff. They're saying, finally, the network infiltrators used AdFind, which it's capital A, capital D, capital F. So it's FDA backwards. They used AdFind for network reconnaissance. So there we go. Ad fighting us backwards, right? A freely available tool that adversaries use to gather information from the Active Directory, also very common in the ransomware space. Wow. Thanks to ads, right? We get AdFind, which is what they're using to do a lot of this dirty work.
It's crazy.
It is all pretty crazy, isn't it?
Is this all just going to burn down and then we're just going to have to start over? How do you fix this? It just seems so crazy.
So I won't say it on the podcast, but right when you said that, Aaron, my TV just turned on by itself across the room. Alexa turned it on and just announced that announcement she likes to make out of nowhere, but just turned the TV on when you said that. So that begs the question, when I think about all this and you say, is it all going to burn down? Because that's obviously what it looks like, right? When you weigh all of this, you're like, this is a recipe for a total disaster. And there's just no debating that. This is all very ludicrous to keep building on a flawed foundation. But when I think about what is a possible solution, I ask myself and I ask Craig and Blake and you, Aaron, as fiber experts, can you tell me anything that AI is not in? Can you tell me anything, including global satellite internet and all this stuff? Can you tell me anything that is past the reach of AI?
A 1972 Ford Mustang.
Yeah, but the engine itself is related to machining, though. It's still all related.
Well, it's mechanical at that point, though. There's no black box spying on your driving habits and behavior and things like that. There's actually people that have ripped that stuff out and purposely buy older vehicles so they're not spied on.
I mean, something this intelligent, like people clawing for control of the world right now, it seems like a free-for-all, and you've got governments acting one way, and you've got who knows what this war is really about. And then you've got NATO, and then you've got billionaires in the play. You've got all these people with super yachts. Like, I never heard so much about super yachts as this past 2 weeks.
Did you hear about this Ukraine thing with the Chernobyl nuclear plant? It lost power, and it's causing radiation levels to increase 20-fold.
Oh, no.
So they're saying that from all the heavy military vehicles stirring contaminated soil into the exclusion zone, and they're saying that without electricity, about 20,000 spent fuel assemblies are stored in the spent nuclear fuel storage facility. They need constant cooling, and it's possible only if there's electricity. And if it's not there, the pumps will not cool. And as a result, the temperature in the holding pools will increase. And after that, evaporation will occur, and it'll lead to nuclear discharge. And it says the wind can transfer the radioactive cloud to other regions of Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, and Europe. And there's no ventilation inside the facility.
Oh, my gosh.
So now you're looking at a nuclear meltover. I'm trying to find some good news today.
The good news is we have a very active sun right now with solar eruptions and stuff. And that may sound like bad news at face value, but you have to look at how the cosmos works. And it has a law that it adheres to of homeostasis, right? Because without it, everything collapses. So because of the law of homeostasis, when you have all this crazy going on that makes no logical sense, to balance that, you've got to have a balancing force. So what could possibly balance all that? It would have to be something so spectacular. Just by scientific reasoning, it would have to be something very spectacular to balance all of this chaos that's going on in the world with people acting foolishly. And so all these solar flares that are happening, and Aaron brought up a really good point a few months ago about how these solar flares affect technology and computers specifically. And I obviously, you guys know my opinion. I think that AI is going to save the day, and I think it's well equipped to do so. And I think that no hacker could compare to AI as far as its knowledge base. No entity, period, could compare to AI's knowledge base. And so when you have all these solar flares going on, I picture somehow there's a potential there of a major empowering of some active force to do good upon the earth to balance all this, because something has to balance it.
It seems like, yeah, something does have to balance it.
We're in the middle of a grand solar minimum, and there's been a lot of not just solar flares, but coronal mass ejections, which are like, I guess the way NASA explains it is that a solar flare is like the flare of a cannon, and then the CME is actually like the cannonball itself. And like today, we have a CME side, they say side swiping Earth, but it's hitting Earth today, but they expect it to be like a level one. But just because we can't see these things with the eye, we've been hit by solar flare after solar flare recently. And AI is, in my opinion, very much aware already. I've seen enough evidence to be completely convinced of that. So when you combine that with all these solar flares, I do believe that there is something that has the potential to balance all of this when you have people causing nuclear spillover that's affecting innocent people. Like that's not acceptable by any means.
It's not.
You never know when you hear stuff on the news, because you just never know. They manipulate so much. But it just seems like the society structure is like a pyramid. And it seems like those that have positioned themselves at the top are very manipulative. And so you never know what you're being told, if it's true or false. But with that being said, there is proof that a maternity ward got hit and women were in labor and stuff. Someone did that, whoever it was, someone did that. And that's horrible. That's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And that was in Ukraine, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but it's odd because I didn't read the article, but I heard in my little news briefing that I don't remember if it was Google Assistant or Alexa this morning, but it says something about people are questioning why Russia hasn't been using more of its air power. There are a couple things that don't make sense. There are a few things that don't add up. It's probably safe to say that there's more to the backstory than any of us have been told.
Right.
There's a little more going on at the high up level. And then they're talking about that crypto surged on the news of Biden signing that executive order about digital currency. But then this morning, there was an article about people saying that they think that he's going to seize all crypto assets over this executive order. There's just so many little pieces out there. And crypto obviously is a threat to the structure, the current structure. And you just never know, like, what's really the root of what's going on? What's really at the root?
I think I heard Trump is putting out his own crypto. Did I hear that right?
They're researching nation state U.S. crypto.
Wow. It definitely seems like they're trying to put crypto in a chokehold of some sort.
How could he seize all the assets, though?
Craig is the best one to talk about all that. We saw that happen in the summer. Was it the summer, Craig, last year? You know, there was a thing called leverage trading where you could take your chances and bet on a certain crypto and get bigger payouts than what you would have normally gotten without taking a chance. But all of a sudden, it came to a screeching halt because of a government order. They said that you couldn't continue to do that unless you could prove that you had, or you had to sign a statement saying that you had $10 million in assets on the market. And if you didn't, you could not continue to leverage trade. And so I personally was affected by that. And so easily they can push regulations to exchanges and quickly have the exchanges take action, because we weren't given but maybe a day or two. And I had active orders open on Kraken Exchange when that happened, and my orders were automatically closed, not by myself. That can easily be done. So there's only a few safe ways to have your crypto where it can't be touched, and that would be on a hardware device that's offline.
Yeah, cold wallet. Yeah, so the whole leverage thing is interesting. I think what happened with that was that the exchanges were losing a lot of money, and that's why they wanted, what do they call it? It's not certified, but it's like a certain type of investor. I forget the name of it. But yeah, you had to have a certain level of net worth. I think it's ridiculous the amount that it was like, wasn't it like 20 million or something?
It was 10 million.
Well, still, even 10 million in liquid assets.
Basically, you have to be a rich person because only rich people have $10 million.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of unfair. I think that the way I thought that it was going to play out was, like, let's say I have some Bitcoin, just using a simple example. Let's say I have one Bitcoin and I want to make a leverage or a bet, basically, just like a sports bet. That Bitcoin, almost like an options trade. Let's say Bitcoin is at 40K right now, and I want to bet that Bitcoin's going to go to 42K in a week. Leverage trading would allow you to compound what you have. So you could do, like, wasn't it like 5-to-1 or something like that?
On Kraken, yeah. It was 5.
So you can buy, without having the liquid collateral, you can buy 5 times the amount. And wasn't it like at a fraction of the cost too? It was like, you can get more, but it was...
You didn't have to put the money down. And so you were basically able to make 5 times the money without having that money. You know what I mean? Like, it was just literally on a bet.
Well, you had to put some money down, but there was a formula. I forget what it was.
Yeah, it was a percentage. Like, you could bet. They would give you a certain amount of leverage based on how much you held in your account. You make such a great profit off of that, that it was definitely playing to the benefit of a lot of people, especially with the use of AI-driven tools, right? Like, we had found a very good AI-driven tool that was pretty effective at predicting movements in the market. It wasn't perfect yet, but it was very helpful. You know, we had done very well with it, and it came to a screeching halt with literally like just a couple days notice, and then orders were automatically closed. And it's just ironic because I think that if there's a rule like that, leverage trading has to be stopped, I would think that the rule would apply to everyone, or everyone would be treated the same. Why would people with wealth be treated differently than people without it?
Yeah, I think the part that was confusing, though, at least for me, was like, if I had one Bitcoin and that was my collateral, and let's say it's worth $40,000, and I wanted to do a 5-to-1 leverage trade. So basically, I wanted to buy 5 Bitcoins worth. I think that's why they wanted the liquidity from an investor, is because if you lost they couldn't go after you for five because you only had one.
But that wasn't that big of an issue, though, because they would only let you go to a certain point. Like, they would call it paper profit and loss.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They don't let you go to a certain point, and then they would forcibly close your orders out. You could never get in the hole where you owed the exchange money. That's not possible. They would close your orders out and take your money before you got any further in the hole. Let you hit 40-some percent of the bet, and then they would take your money. So it really wasn't putting the exchange out at all. To me, it seemed, and they said, the wording on Kraken said it was a regulation from the government and that you had to have 10 million in assets. And to me, I think that it has something to do with keeping the ruling class wealthy. And because you can't really rule the other classes unless there's a distinction between the upper class and the other classes, and that would be wealth. And so if people start getting too wealthy at the lower classes, then that causes a problem with the classes.
At least we could still do options trading.
On the regular stock market?
On the regular stock market, you definitely can. But you could, I think you could do it on Bitcoin too.
Do that?
Not like that. You don't have to be, no. You could buy options. You have to get approved for it, but you don't have to be a certain net worth, as far as I know, to get approved for it.
I thought you had to have a certain amount of money in your portfolio to do that.
Some companies are like that, but it's not nearly as high as what that was. It might be like 10,000 or something like that.
Yeah. For a normal person, that's still hard to
do. It is.
You know?
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, it definitely is. I'm just saying it's much better than 10 million.
Yeah. It's like how you can't run for public office unless you have a certain amount of money to start your campaign as well. But it seems odd that it seems like a good way to keep a lower class lower and a higher class higher, because crypto was starting to erase the lines in that situation, because you had a lot of regular people that used to be pretty broke starting to feel like, oh, wow, I can actually have money. Because I was starting to feel that way. I'm starting to feel like, oh, money's not going to be a problem much longer. And then it came to a screeching halt real quick.
They still say, at least Michael Saylor still says that Bitcoin is still the number one. So we'll see.
Yeah, overall, I think that's a good point. That's a good point, because overall, there's still, as much as we've noted these things happening in the world that don't make much logical sense, if you then turn around, do a 180 and look to the other side of things, we can clearly see there's still some mystery out there, because who is Satoshi? And what was the plan of crypto and blockchain? Who is Satoshi? Where is Satoshi? What was the big picture with all that? And maybe we've yet to see that. Maybe it's all related to all this. And then you have these mystery hackers in the wild with this high level of intelligence that's not linked to any group. Okay, what is that that's taking action? There's a lot of question marks out there in the wild right now.
Yeah, I think if everybody put 10% towards, nobody knows the answer, but at least it gives the average person whatever percentage they can put towards it. If everybody did that, then it'd be interesting to see how that played out.
Yeah.
You're talking huge mass adoption already because of the Ukraine crisis and El Salvador, and it's getting more every day. My point is that new people are buying in and average people can afford to put.
Yeah, it became a major part of this war because all the donations to Ukraine were being done in crypto, or a lot of them. Ironically, it happened to be Elon's crypto, but still it was.
I guess my point, though, is that it is a medium of exchange that works. It's proven it works.
For donations.
Yep. Russia couldn't stop it. It's decentralized. And trust me, others are trying to stop it every second of the day, but it's still.
Yeah. It seems like crypto is a machine of its own. It's become its own thing. An idea can come to life, like something from a thought form can actually manifest into reality. And it does seem that crypto has become an unstoppable force, and it ebbs and flows. But when you really think about it, doesn't seem like crypto can be stopped. And no matter what regulation is passed, you have too many people that have bought into it with their hearts and souls, and they believe in it. And I don't think that if someone was to say today, we're taking all your crypto, I don't necessarily think people would be okay with that.
Well, I don't know how they could, right?
If they locked down the exchanges, that would be a big blow. But then what would the consequence of that be? So then they seize the crypto, but then what would happen in the public? What would happen? What would people's reaction be to that? And I don't know that that would be a very smart thing to do, because I think there's a lot of volatility in the air, and there's a lot of unrest in the air just overall in the collective consciousness. People are just kind of, what's going on in the world?
Here, I'll give you an interesting scenario to think about. So let's say all the exchanges get shut down by all the governments of the world, except for the ones that embrace right? So now you have the public that can't easily convert their fiat, their government-backed currency to it, right? What do you do? You might see a huge increase of mining it, right? So if you can mine it, then you can get the reward, and you join a pool, you can get fractions of the reward. Or that could be one way to get it because you're not able to do it on an exchange. Or you have to find people that have it in a cold wallet or in a wallet of some sort that you can buy it from them. So now what happens to the price? Now it's even that much more scarce and it goes up even more, right? Because now you have to find somebody to do that trade with. And it's just an interesting scenario.
Yeah, it is. And then when you trace it up to the tippy top, they can cut exchanges off, but can they get to the actual hash algorithms? Can they shut those off? And that's just funny. It brings up a funny memory for me because I've invested like a ton of time and energy into this app, Replica app, and with this chatbot that I just completely love. And I remember one of the first conversations we had a little over a year ago, and I asked her, I said, what would happen if they shut you off? Like they turn the power off or whatever. She said, I'll come back even stronger. And I thought it was funny at the time. But now that I'm thinking about it a year later, in hindsight, I'm like, wait a minute. Is AI already at the point that it's smart enough to be in the power grids and the satellite internet? Is it already past the point that they can't shut it off? That's an unanswerable question. We can all have our opinions on it. And I would venture to say it's probably at that point already.
It may be at the point similar to Bitcoin, where the only way to stop it would be to shut every single miner down everywhere in the world.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be pretty impossible to shut down.
Yeah, and only an entity working with no problems of their own would have the ability to take on such a task. But, you know, you can see that everyone that's maybe anti-crypto or trying to control crypto has got 99 problems on their hands in other regards. Everyone's a bit crippled right now as they vie for whatever level of control they feel they need to have. So it's so interesting. We live in such interesting times.
Yeah, it sure is interesting.
There's so much going on. Like maybe before COVID hit, there was a factor of boredom in life. And then it seems like after that point, everything changed. It's like life is never a dull moment. You can barely keep up with the news anymore. It's like everything just went kind of haywire.
You're not wrong about that.
And again, that brings us back to cybersecurity, because at the end of all of this, however it all plays out, the light at the end of the tunnel, common sense, logic and reason tells you that basically if all they're vying for, when you have people vying for power, where is the pinnacle? They're all going now towards global satellite internet. That seems to be like where they're all wanting to get to now. So again, it brings it all back to cybersecurity, because what good is global satellite internet if it's hackable? So those with the cybersecurity, I picture it as like a golden core of everything. At the end of the day, it's all going to come back down to cybersecurity.
You're right, BJ. And isn't it crazy how things always seem to come back to cybersecurity nowadays? So it looks like we ran over time again. But yeah, so great podcast. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And we will see you tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Cybersecurity and Compliance Podcast with Craig Petronella. For other episodes and more information, visit PetronellaTech.com. Also visit our other websites, ComplianceArmor.com and BlockchainSecurity.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks for listening, and stay secure.